Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "Yea, he hath power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great story.
We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just speak to our hearts through it today, that, Lord, we would see how you deal with your people, and that, Lord, we would surrender to you in those areas that we need to surrender and let you win. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, but also would you turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, the book of beginnings, the very first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 32. Once heard a message by Dr. Ron Dunn on this passage and inspired me to preach on this myself. Genesis chapter 32, I'd like to begin reading with verse 22. There are many graphic stories in the Bible. Today I'm going to tell you about one of them. I mean, what man who ever read the Bible could forget about Daniel in the lion's den, or Noah and the ark, or Peter walking on the water, or Jesus feeding the 5,000, or how about David and Goliath? And right up there is Jacob's wrestling match with the angel of the Lord. We'll talk about that today. Genesis chapter 32, beginning with verse 22. "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed them there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Key verse is verse 28. I'm going to draw the outline from verse 28 today. He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Today we're going to talk about the prevailing prince who had power with God. And as I looked at verse 28 there were three words that stood out to me. Three words, each beginning with the letter P. The three words I think are very significant. We will look at those individually today. Those three words would be prince, power, and prevailed. Prince, power, and prevailed. First of all, the word prince. You know, when I entered the call to ministry, I had a pretty good idea how it would go. I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old, and I figured I knew how God worked in my life. But, you know, I have constantly been caught off guard by God, and God keeps me off balance. God has a way of doing the unexpected, and he has a way of reversing those things that seem to be obvious. And to be honest, sometimes I have missed God because God didn't come in the way that I thought he would come. You know, they say that a uniform is the best disguise a person can wear because people look at the uniform instead of the person. And I've had people see me outside the church for the first time wearing grubby clothes, you know, jeans and a t-shirt or something, and they do a double take and they're thinking, well, that's what pastor looks like when he's not wearing a suit and tie. The point to all this is that there are many times we don't recognize the ministers that God sends across our path because they don't look like the way we think a minister ought to look. They come disguised. Well, in this story, Jacob has been gone for 20 years, and for good reason. His brother Esau has vowed to kill him. Jacob had cheated him out of his birthright. and he had cheated him out of the blessing of the firstborn. And so when Jacob learned that he was going to be killed by his brother, he decided that he would go visit his uncle Laban. In the 20 years that he was there, he became a wealthy man, a married man, a father, a master of many servants. But the time came for Jacob to go home. And he's afraid because Esau wants to kill him. And besides that, somebody that very day spotted Esau coming toward Jacob with 400 armed men. And so Jacob sends everybody over the water Jabbok, and he decides that he is going to spend the night alone. He's going to be all by himself. And he prays a beautiful prayer, asking God to spare him from the wrath of Esau and that everything will come out right between them. I picture Jacob sitting there alone in the dark. And you know he has to be uptight. You know his nerves have to be on edge. Because in the morning he is going to meet Esau, who wants to kill him. And Jacob is sitting there alone in the dark of the night, and all of a sudden a man jumps on him and wrestles him to the ground. Out of that experience, Jacob, the fraud, the deceiver, is turned into Israel, the prince of God. Now this story has special significance beyond the story itself, because this is where Jacob becomes the nation of Israel. This is where they really get their start. And it tells us that from this time on, there was a ban of eating a certain portion of meat, showing that this story has significance for all time to come. And I believe that this story shows us how God deals with his people. This is a picture of how God takes a Jacob, a deceiver, a fraud, a cheat, and turns him into a prince or a princess of God. So the first P there is the prince. And the second P is the word power. It's found in the word power. Jacob sat there that night praying that God would deliver him, and God answers in a way that he didn't expect. He answers in fact, a very surprising way. Let me share with you some of the surprises that Jacob had that night. And to be very frank with you, some of the surprises that I've had in my own life as I live my journey with the Lord. And one of the things that I have learned that really was a surprise to me was that my toughest battles are with God and not the devil. I mean, the toughest battles in my life have been with God and not the devil. Now, I'm not denying the fact that we battle with the devil, for we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and these things. And it's a difficult spiritual battle that we have at times. But you know, I found it easier to say no to the devil than yes to God. Many times in my life, I found it much easier to say no to the devil than yes to God. And we take Jacob there. He's sitting alone in the dark. He's all by himself. He's on edge. And all of a sudden, somebody jumps him and throws him to the ground. Now, who do you suppose Jacob thought that was? I would imagine he thought it was Esau. All of a sudden, Esau had taken a page right out of Jacob's own playbook. Jumped him from behind. Tricked him. Something that Jacob would do. Some of the old rabbis used to have an interesting thought. They said it could have been Jacob's guardian angel. It was an angel, Hosea tells us. But I like the idea. Here's a man that's so obnoxious that the angel that's sent to guard him has to beat him up once in a while. But I really don't think it was his guardian angel. I don't know who he thought it was, but I don't think he thought it was a friend, do you? I don't think his first thought was, oh, somebody has come to bless me. No, he's thinking somebody is out to get me. And he wrestles and he wrestles and he wrestles and he continues and he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. You see, Jacob's toughest battle was not with Esau, but with God. Jacob's problem was not Esau. Jacob's problem was God. And they wrestle. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. In our struggle to grow, we often find that our toughest battles are with God. And the reason for this is because God is out to change us. God is out to change us. And you know, this isn't the first time that Jacob had an encounter with God. When he had left home 20 years earlier, he stayed in a place called Bethel. And there he had this incredible vision. He saw this ladder that ascended up into heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. It must have been a tremendous vision. I mean, I would love to have a vision like that. I've never had a vision like that. It must have been a tremendous vision. But out of that experience, Jacob did not change one bit. And you know, it's a little scary to me when I think about how many great experiences we can have with God and not be changed. So this time, the encounter with God is different. I think it's important and significant that this is a wrestling match. I mean, if somebody comes up to me and punches me in the nose, if I don't want to fight, I can run away. But if I'm sitting there alone in the dark, and somebody jumps me from behind and wraps his arm around me and throws me to the ground, I have no choice but to fight. And what God is saying to Jacob is, Jacob, you've been running from me long enough. And we're going to have it out right now. Yes, you and me, we're going to have it out. Once and for all, we're going to have it out. And he wrestles him to the ground. Do you remember that the angel asked him a question? What is your name? Now, do you think that angel didn't know his name? Do you think that that angel just happened to be wandering by that night and he saw this poor soul sitting there by himself and decided, I think I'll just jump on him? No, I think that angel knew exactly who he was. What's your name? And somewhere during that wrestling match, Jacob comes to the revelation that this is the Lord. And like a veil lifted to reveal a terrible scene, Jacob suddenly beholds the picture that the Lord is trying to get him to see. Kneeling in the dirt, covered with dust, sweat, and tears, old Jacob, the poacher, the deceiver, the cheat, sees the interior of a tent on the plains of Beersheba. In that tent is a young man kneeling at the feet of his old father. And Jacob, as in a dream, hears the father say to him, Who art thou, my son? Art thou my very son, Esau? And Jacob answers, I am. The angel, as he's wrestling with Jacob, asks him his name. A little smile, I'm sure, came to his lips. What is your name? Jacob swallows hard and he answers, Jacob. My name is Jacob. You see, the angel wasn't looking for information. He was asking for a confession. The name Jacob means he who catches by the heel. It's a picture of you walking in front of someone, and as your foot goes up, they reach down and they grab you by the heel and trip you up. That is the meaning of Jacob's name. That is the kind of person that he was. He would be willing to trip people up. He would trick people. He would deceive people. He would do whatever he could to get an advantage. In fact, in Jeremiah 17:9, when it says the heart is deceitful, the word deceitful in Hebrew is Jacob. The word is Jacob. The word is, the heart is Jacob. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so the angel is asking, what is your name? Who are you really? Jacob is not just giving his name. He is confessing, I am a fraud. I am a cheat. I am a deceiver. In fact, I think that in this point of the match, Jacob's head drops. He's all through wrestling. He surrenders. He gives in. And what God is after is to reach down into the depths of Jacob's soul and pull all of the fraud out of him. He wants to change him from the inside out. And Jacob finally tells the truth. My name is Jacob. The angel draws himself to his full height and says in verse 28, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. I want you to listen to an interesting verse. I just came across this verse this week. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 5. It says, Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Take hold of the Lord's strength. As we're going to see, that's what happened here. Jacob got the strength of the Lord. He was able to take the strength of the Lord. He was able to prevail as he made confession and surrendered. Peace with God came at that moment. And that's why it's sometimes hard for me to say yes to the Lord. I like him to deal with me on some of these surface issues, but I don't want to come face to face with who I really am. And most of us find that it's difficult to be truly honest with ourselves. But let me tell you, you cannot be the person that God wants you to be until you come to that place and you are completely honest with yourself and God. What would you say today? What is your name? What are you down in the very depths of your soul? God is not going to let you go today. God is not going to let us go. He will pursue us, and I thank him for that. God is out to change us. And that's why I say that our toughest battles are not with the devil, but with God. Oh, let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. You know, I've often tried to get rid of my best blessings. The greatest work that God has done in my life has been against my pleasure and sometimes against my will. You say that this morning? Some of the things that God has done to you and in you would not have been your choice when it was happening. See, we have a tendency that is sometimes fatal. That is that we think we can accurately interpret everything that happens in our lives. Listen, I know a curse when I see one, and I know a blessing when I see one, and this is definitely not a blessing. So the best thing that I can do is to get loose from this thing. But the truth is, a lot of times, blessings come wrapped up like curses. Kings come dressed as beggars, and we do entertain angels unawares. And it may be that the very thing you are trying to get loose from is the very thing that God has sent into your life to make you what he wants you to be. That's what happened to Jacob. Jacob is wrestling. He's trying to get loose from this angel until the revelation comes to him, and then he completely changes. He says, this thing is not a curse. This thing is a blessing wrapped up in it. And he says to the angel, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will use all of my strength. I will use whatever energy I can muster. I will simply not let you go until you bless me. And the very thing that he was trying to get rid of was the very thing that he was now clinging to. I will not let you go. Now, I'm not preaching passivity this morning. If there is something wrong in your life and you can do something about it, you need to. I'm talking about the things that you can't do anything about. The things that you can do things about, like you can take care of your responsibilities and your opportunities. I'm talking about the things you can't. You have no control over. You know, if I have a headache, I'm going to take an aspirin. But there are a lot of things that come my way that I can't do anything about. And I think we need to consider that if we can't get rid of it or if we can't change it, that perhaps this is what God has sent my way. And God has done this so that he can do a work in me that he could not do otherwise. And if that's the case, what I need then is the courage to be able to embrace the thing. You see, faith is not simply the power to change the things the way we want them to be. Faith is also the courage to face things as they are. Faith is to take those things and let God use them for fuel for the journey. You know, I'm trying to learn in situations that come. I'm trying to learn and say, Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. Because there could be a blessing wrapped up somewhere in that curse. Well, Jacob was after a blessing, wasn't he? Well, he got it. By the way, this is the only time in the Bible where a blessing was gotten through a struggle. Blessings were always conferred. But you see, Jacob never had to struggle for a thing in his life. He was always able to use his wits. He was always able to somehow get what he wanted. But this time, he had a struggle for the blessing. He got the blessing. The word blessed there means a transfer of power. That's incredible. The angel literally transferred his power to Jacob. He got the blessing. He got the transfer of power. There is the prince, there was the power, and the third P is prevailed. Prevailed. There's always been something a little bit fishy to me about this story. The angel says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Do you really believe that Jacob was stronger than that angel? Do you really think the angel couldn't get free if he wanted to? In the Bible, one angel killed 185,000 men without working up a sweat. I think the angel was saying, "Let go." But under his breath, he was saying, "But I hope you don't. If you just hang on to a little longer, you will prevail." And Jacob walked away with the strength of an angel. Oh no, he didn't walk away. He limped away. He got what he wanted, and he got what he didn't want. The angel gave him the power and then popped him in the hip to remind him of where he got it. And for the rest of Jacob's life, every time he took a step, he was reminded of his weakness. He got the blessing and he got the limp. All of us limp somewhere. Even after we are saved, we have limps. Sometimes a Christian must be broken to helpless clinging before the blessing comes. Jacob thought, "Well, at least I can run away." But now he can't even do that. We think, you know, I used to think this, maybe I was the only one. I used to think that I was going to eventually get to a time in my life where only good things would happen. You know, maybe you're like that. Right now, there are good things and there are bad things in my life. There's the good things, but there's also some bad things. But someday when I nail down all the boards and tuck in all the corners, everything is just going to be blessing, blessing, blessing. Good stuff, good stuff. I'm still waiting for that to happen. But I thought, you know, when I learned how to be a Christian, when I really knew how to pray and seek the Lord, that everything would just fall into place and my life would just be one great blessing after another. Somebody has said, life is what happens when you are waiting for life to begin. Life is what happens when you are waiting for life to start. And there will never be a time in your life when there is only good stuff that's coming to you. We are always thankful for one thing in spite of something else. In fact, I want you to do something for me this morning. I want you to right now think of something that you are thankful for. Think of something that you are truly thankful for, something really good. Now think about something that you are not so thankful for. You see, we are nearly always thankful for one thing in spite of something else. Remember the parable of the wheat and tares? They were growing together, and some men one day wanted to pull up the tares. Jesus said, "Let them grow together." Because they are so entwined that if you pull up the tares, you're going to pull up some of the wheat as well. Good and evil, let them grow together. He said that at the harvest time, the reapers, the angels would come and they would be able to separate the wheat from the tares, but let them grow together until the end of the age. And they do grow together. And the mystery of good and evil is the mixture of good and evil. I gave you this illustration before. I thought it fit in again with this message. I'd like to share it with you. An old man lived in the country with one son. Their only valuable possession was a beautiful horse. They were in need. The villagers said, "Sell the horse." They said, "The horse is like a part of our family. We can't sell the horse." One day the horse ran away. The villagers said, "See, you should have sold it like we said." And the man said, "But you don't really know how it's going to turn out." The horse came back home and brought 12 other horses with him. The neighbor said, "You were right." And the man said, "But you don't really know how things are going to turn out." The son volunteered to break the horses. He broke both legs in the process. The villagers looked at the father and said, "You're so wise. You knew it might not be good." And the man looked back and wisely said, "But you don't really know how things are going to turn out." 2 weeks later, war broke out and all the other boys were being drafted and going off to war. The neighbors came around and said, "You are right. Our sons may die in battle. It is good that your son broke his legs." The father looked back and said, "But you really don't know how things are going to turn out." So what we think of as being bad right now may turn out, may wind up as good. In fact, for the Christian, we know that the end result is going to be good. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purposes. See, good and bad are so entwined that we can't separate them. And so we let them grow together. Our youngest child, Samuel, most of you know, has Down syndrome. We, of course, don't like the idea of Down syndrome. Back when he was first born, we didn't believe that he had it. He looked so normal. And for a while afterwards, we thought off and on that possibly the doctors were wrong. And I thought to myself, if I could change it, I would change it. I would just reach down and I would just pull the Down syndrome out. But I realized I can't do that. He is special. He's fun. He has such a great personality. But I can't separate the Down syndrome from the rest of him. He is who he is in spite and because of his uniqueness. And I can't separate the good and the bad. They are entwined. They have to grow together. Samuel's so much fun. I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't trade a thing about him today. But if I could have, I'd have taken out the tares and left the wheat. But I realize that he's so entwined in his personality that I can't do that. There are things in your life, there are good things and bad things that are happening. You want to separate the bad from the good. You know what? You really can't do that. You need to trust God. You need to trust God and see how He's working in your life. Well, I like to imagine Jacob the next morning after his all-night wrestling match with God. Everybody is waiting for Jacob to come. Suddenly, somebody says, "There he is. Here comes Jacob." But look, he's limping. Jacob has a bad limp. He must have twisted his ankle or something last night in the darkness. As he comes closer, you notice that his clothes are ripped and his face is bruised and his hair is disheveled, and you think, "Jacob, what happened to you? You look like you've been in a fight." Jacob limps up to you and says, "I was blessed last night." As he limps away, you say to yourself, "He doesn't look like any victorious Christian I know. He doesn't look like any prevailing Christian I've ever seen." No, they usually don't. They usually walk with a limp, something to remind themselves of where they got the blessing, where they got the power. See, God doesn't always come dressed up like God, and if you are not careful, you'll miss Him. As a prince, you too can have power with God and prevail. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. The prevailing prince who had power with God. Maybe you've had some of these same surprises that I've had. Maybe you would have to admit this morning that some of your toughest battles are with God and not the devil. And if God is out to change you today, if He is out to change you from the inside out, the best thing that you can do this morning is to confess who you really are so that God's strength can be put in you and you can prevail. If you're here this morning, you know the Lord's been trying to change something about you. He's been working with you. He's been dealing with you. He's been trying to get you to be honest with yourself about who you really are. Would you just right now say, "Lord, I confess this is who I really am, but I invite you to change me. I will stop fighting with you. I'll stop wrestling with you. Here's the white flag of surrender. Have your way. Have your way with my life." And then maybe you're going through a situation today, and It's a situation that you have no power over, no control over. I would just ask that you would think that maybe, just maybe, perhaps, God has allowed this so that He could work in you, so that He could change you. Maybe this is the only way He could do it. Maybe you would not have listened otherwise. Maybe you would have fought and struggled otherwise. This is the only way that He could change you. I would just encourage you to yield to Him today. Learn whatever lesson it is to learn, and God will make things right. It'll all turn out for good. See, the sooner we submit, the sooner God can bring the end to the battle. I think if Jacob would have surrendered earlier on in that fight, it would have been over a long time before that. But it wasn't until he came to the revelation that this was God. This was God acting in a surprising way. And it wasn't until then that the revelation came to him that he had to surrender. And then how many here today would say, Pastor, there are good things going on in my life and there are bad things. And I just ask that God would give me the grace to be able to let them grow together until He is able to separate them for me. But I'm not going to try to separate them. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to let God have His way. Anybody here, Pastor, pray for me. There's good and there's bad in my life. Amen. Amen. You know what? Most of us today. Good things happening in your life. You're thankful for those. But at the same time, you're not so thankful for something else. Good and bad growing together. Wheat and tares. Lord, you saw the hands today. You know our situations. You know more about them than we do even. You know more about us than we know about ourselves. You know more about what we need than we do ourselves. So, Lord, we surrender to you today. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way with our lives. I just pray for those that did raise their hand, Lord, that you would give them the grace to go through the situation. And Lord, that you would give them wisdom to respond to these situations from your point of view. And that, Lord, if there is something they can do about the situation, you would show them that they would do it. But where the situations are out of their control and in yours, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to learn to lean. Help us to have our confidence and our strength in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Presence daily live.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It truly is a blessing to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now.
Worshiping Jesus. And it just, I want each one of you to know that somebody's praying for you. They're not, if they're behind you or standing in front of you, somebody's praying for each one of us here today. You know, it's not all by chance we're all here together. Just, you know, think about that person that you specifically want to pray for. If you want prayer, come up here. I'm serious now. If you want somebody to, one of these guys, just lay hands on you and pray with you, that's what they're here for. Everything is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's why we're all here. Not for anybody else. But just think, we're all praying for one another. We're all going through temptations, sacrifices, pain, whatever it may be.
Standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray.
I don't want to seem spooky spiritual today, but I believe that there are ministering spirits that God sends out to minister to his people. I believe in guardian angels that protect God's people. And the first time Jacob met with God, I described his vision a little bit to you. There was an angel, or there was a ladder that ascended up into heaven. And the Bible says that angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. Notice the order. They were ascending before they were descending, which means that they were with Jacob. They were walking with him, and then they ascended the ladder to heaven. They kept going back and forth, ministering God's strength and provision to Jacob. And you know what? God does the same thing with you. I really believe there are angels with you. There are angels all around. If we could have the blinders off our eyes this morning, we could see spirit into the spiritual world. We would see angels here this morning. They are sent to minister to you. Just allow yourself to be ministered today. This is holy ground. God's presence is here this morning. Just reach out to him as we sing. Let him know what your needs are. Reach out to him. Let him meet your need today.
Be the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
I can feel his mighty power.
I can feel his mighty power.
And his grace.
And his grace.
I can hear the brush of angels.
I can hear the brush of angels' wings.
I see glory on each face.
I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah. Let's praise him today. Lord, we do praise you for your love and care for us. Lord, we worship you today because you are God. Lord, today I pray that those that need strength today, Lord, that there would be a transfer of power, a transfer of strength from you to them today, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would meet each need today. Lord, that you would supply according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, as the angels are round about Jerusalem, so you are round about your people today. Lord, may everyone feel your presence, your closeness, your protection. One more time.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Sure.